All right, the subject we've been discussing for months and months is tefillah, davening. Some of you are here for the first time, so it's obviously not possible to recapitulate the subject matter of all that time. But really, last week we started something new within the Indian that we're discussing, which is the concept of Malchus. Malchus, which all the years growing up we understood to mean just a kingdom. Malchus. Malchus is more than a kingdom. Malchus is the entirety of life. It's the whole as opposed to the parts. It's everything functioning together. And in order to understand Tefillah, which is the world of David HaMelech, as I mentioned last week, referred to himself as a tefillah. He said, Ani tefillah, I am a tefillah, I am a prayer. So if we're to understand tefillah, we must understand Malchus. It's impossible to understand tefillah without understanding Malchus. So we began last week with the Ramchal. The Ramchal teaches us that Malchus, he says, is the shorish of Hatachton. Malchus is the root and basis of all earthly existence. Malchus is the root and basis of all earthly existence, which you understand on a simple level means that the purpose of creation, as has been revealed to us by the Creator, is to reveal His glory, to make His Malchus known to the furthest ends of the kingdom, that the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the sovereignty of Hashem, should be revealed to the entire world. In the creation of the world, as we spoke about last week, that type of energy that is called Malchus, which is the lowest of all the spheros that you've all heard of probably, the word spheros without really knowing what they are. I'm not going to discuss anything Kabbalistic here. But the lowest of all spheros, Lecha Hashem HaGadula V'Agivura V'Teferes V'Netzach V'Ahod, Kil Hashem HaMlocha, HaMamlocha. Mamlocha Malchus means Hashem's connection to the world. It's sometimes referred to as Shechina, and as I mentioned last week, is generally represented in the feminine form. Malchus, the Ramchal tells us, is the root and basis of all earthly existence. Everything somehow all joins together in that world that is called Malchus. So we have to understand what that means. So we began, I'm just reviewing a little bit. We began with a teaching of the Vilna Gaon of the Gra, where the Gra explains the difference between the Hebrew words Memshala and Melucha. Ki Lashem Hamlucha Umoshel Bagoyim. The relationship, the Gra says, between Hashem and the Jewish people is a relationship of Malchus. Whereas the relationship that Hashem has with the rest of the world is referred to as Memshala. Hashem is a Moshel, as opposed to his relationship with Klal Yisrael, which is a relationship of Molech, of being a king. And the Gra makes the distinction. The Vilna Gaon teaches us that the word Moshel really means a tyrant. Memshala means control, coercion. When the subjects are not really happy or agreeable to be in such a position, in relationship to the king, they don't have a choice. Whereas Melucha, Malchus, the Gra tells us, Umalchuso beratzon kiblu aleihem. The key word with Malchus is always ratzon. Ratzon means desire, willingness. So, what the Vilna Gaon is teaching us is that somehow, because Baruch made the world in such a way where he has chosen the Jewish people for reasons that are not important to discuss at this moment, where he has chosen the Jewish people to reveal his Malchus. We are the members of his Malchus, and our job is to reveal his Malchus. In order that the Malchus, in order that, I think we have your tape recorder. I saw it in the box. It's underneath in the drawer. The next one, the other one, on the right side. So in order for the in order to be Bnei HaMelucha, to be members of the kingdom, the necessary requirement is that the members of the Melucha have free choice. Since the definition of Malchus, as we spoke about last week, means that I want to be part of this kingdom, I want to be connected to this society, I want to be a subject of this king, because I believe in him, I trust him, I admire the policies of this kingdom. So where there's going to be a Malchus, there must be the investment of the individual with Das. He has to have awareness of what he's getting into. And there has to be Bechira, free choice. And ultimately, there must be strong Ratzon. As I mentioned last week, that before we can actually understand the relationship between Malchus and Tefillah, everything in davening revolves around the subject of Malchus. We first have to do a little bit basic Hashkafa. So I already apologized last week if some of this is too basic for some of you. Nevertheless, we have to chazer these things to have a strong foundation in this in pretty much the essence of Yiddishkeit, in order to know what Malchus means. So, Ratzon means there's das, willingness, desire, awareness, bechira. So the Ramchal explains in the Derech Hashem that in order to establish his Malchus, there were three things that are necessary. Number one, Hashem has presented himself in creation as a Kel Mistatir. Hashem's presence here is greatly, greatly obscured, greatly hidden. Terribly, terribly hidden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond our understanding. Even the moment of Kabbalah Satara, which is the moment of the greatest moment of revelation, the greatest moment of contact between heaven and earth, even that is shrouded in so much mystery and darkness that the Jewish people, the Chlal, had to remain below. And even Moshe Rabbeinu had to ascend into a cloud. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Rambam explains in the Mor Nevuchim, because of the fact that even Moshe Rabbeinu was a physical being, physical life itself is an obstruction to holiness, is an obstruction to godliness. Therefore, the Torah itself was given in darkness and fog and clouds. Because ultimately, there is this separation that exists between that which is physical and that which is transcendent and spiritual. But in order that there should be a Melucha, Hashem had to make the world in such a way. He had to be hidden. He had to be concealed. Because were HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal His light and His glory and His presence, then it would no longer be a Malchus HaBeratzon. It would no longer be with will and desire. Why? It's obvious, because if it would be in such a way, it would no longer be left up to the free choice of the individual to choose Hashem. Since Hashem, if Hashem's presence would be completely revealed, or more revealed than it is now, then Bechira Chavshah's free choice would be meaningless. There would be no free choice. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beauty and His essence would be so apparent that free choice would be impossible. Free choice is only when there's concealment. Free choice is only when there's a cloudiness, when there's something vague. Then the person makes the choice. He makes the choice for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to the other possible options that reality seems to be bearing out. Many, many, many things seem to be, in the world, seem to be telling us that, God forbid, there is no God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in such a way, in order that His Malchus should be Meiratzon Midas, with willingness, with intelligence, with awareness, and with choice. This is pretty obvious. The second thing is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create, means the Ramchal, straight Ramchal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create an Adam, a human being, who would be different from the rest of creation. A creature that would have Das. There has to be a creature with Das that is able to choose, that is able to reject Him as well. Somebody who could be Mamlech as Hashem, who could accept Hashem's kingdom. And three, Hashem created, in order that there should be a Malchus, Hashem created certain conditions, places, circumstances in our lives, different things that we go through. Sometimes things to be so, going so great, and we feel so close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and everything is wonderful. And then and suddenly, it seems as if Kadosh Baruch Hu has simply closed up shop and left. And all the circumstances of our lives, anything that you and I ever experience, a person that we meet, places where we go, whatever it is, everything. All these things and times are referred to in the Svarim as kelim, as utensils with which Hashem runs the Malchus. And there's a very, very, very delicate balance between what Hashem shows us of His presence and what Hashem conceals of His presence. Everything is kelim. Rabbi Tzadik from Lublin writes in Tzikas HaTzadik that the sign of something being very important to you, the sign of something being an essential feature of that person's tafkid, that person's role in existence, is when that seems to elude you. When you have a hard time with something that is good, a hard time with something that is holy. In other words, that mitzvah which gives you the most trouble, that which always seems to be ever so slightly beyond your reach, Reb Tzadik writes many places that's a siman, that's your tafkid. Now why is that? Because since it's something which you're so deeply connected to, if you would have it easily, if you would have it within your grasp, you would no longer have free choice to want it. It would be with such power, it would be so overwhelming, that you would lose your sense of connection to it because you would be swallowed up in it. Therefore, there are things that Kosh Baruch Hu uses as kelim and keeps these kelim dangling before us, so that that rotz and that cheshek, that longing, that desire, that will, the willingness, the willfulness remains alive. And all this is explained in the first chelik of Derech Hashem, which I mentioned last week as the most basic sefer and machshava that every Jewish person should read, should learn. The Derech Hashem. It's all the first chelik of Derech Hashem. I pretty much summarized the first chelik. That's Aleph. Beis.
An example of something eluding you, a mitzvah that you connected with, but
eluding you? Well, sure. For instance, there are people who instinctively feel that somehow their successes and failures will revolve around things like Lashon Hara, for example. Around Lashon Hara. And there could be a million signs up, and you got the Chavos Chaim's picture everywhere you look. And you know, and you've heard that there are a million of areas connected to Lashon Hara. And you go to classes and it bothers you and you read books. And it seems to be forever dangling before our generation. There were things like that in the past because just as much as the individual person has some particular thing that more than any other human being in the world he was supposed to bring into his life, he was supposed to reveal to the world, each generation has that as well. Therefore you'll find certain mitzvahs that in previous generations, or in the previous generation, certain mitzvahs that were largely neglected. For no apparent reason. For instance, it's safe to say, as upsetting as it is, 25 years ago, even less, 20 years ago, the idea of married women going to the mikveh in New York was pretty much reserved for a select few. The mikvahs were not busy. In proportion to the amount of Shomer Shabbos women that were living in New York, the mikvahs were not busy. This is well known to anybody who was Orthodox in America during those years. And Baruch Hashem, somehow the Indian of Tznius and the mikveh, it went through a revival of sorts. And it's difficult to understand. Of course, people try to explain this in sociological terms and so on. It's difficult to understand why certain mitzvahs that were neglected suddenly find a tchias amesim with certain people who in other respects seem to be further removed from spirituality than the earlier generations. And this is a very common thing. Every generation has certain things to fix, certain things to repair. Therefore, all the kalim, all these circumstances of a person's life are going to, you know, it's like If you buy, sometimes if you're interested in a certain car, or you buy a new car, then for the first time in your life, you'll notice how many other people are driving that car. Right? You wouldn't have noticed. Who cares? I mean, you wouldn't have noticed. Lahavdil, in spirituality, there is such a thing that a person notices something in Yiddishkeit wherever she goes, wherever he goes, it seems to pop up again. You can't get away from it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you, this is your thing. Now you're having a hard time with it because it's your thing. Because if you were to fully grasp it, then perhaps the mission of your life would conclude. So there are things in our lives that we have to try to master. Things that like this that we work, we try, but they seem to be ever so slightly beyond us. Lahavdil between that which is holy and that which is most unholy. I remember there was a line from Browning, where Browning said, if a man's reach cannot exceed his grasp, then what's a heaven for? Right? If a man's reach cannot exceed his grasp, then what's a heaven for? In the words of a holy person, the Kotzker, when Hashem created the world, He left a ladder hanging down the world, which is just a couple of inches beyond a person's reach. And that's not because Hashem derives any joy of seeing idiots like us jumping and not being able to grab onto the ladder. Because the Tachlis itself is reaching for the ladder, for that bottom rung of the ladder. That bottom rung is called Malchus, which we're going to understand more of Mitzvah as we go along. Aleph. Beis. I mentioned the Pasuk. There's a Pasuk that we say in Davening. It's a Pasuk actually in Divrei Yomim that contains in it the mystery of the 10 Spheres. Has all 10 Spheres mentioned in this Pasuk, using like code words, but they're very, very transparent. And that's the pasuk that we have in Vayivarech Ador V'lecha Hashem HaGedulo V'HaGvur V'HaTiferes V'HaNetzach V'HaHod. Gedulo is Chesed. Gvur is Gvur. And afterwards, they're all the same names. L'cha Hashem Gedulo Gvur Tiferes Netzach Tiferes V'Netzach V'HaHod. But then, it says, Ki kol ba'shamayim v'aretz, Ki kol ba'shamayim uvaretz, all that is on heaven and on earth is connected. Hashem, you have control over all that is on heaven and on earth. That is called in the world of spheres, that's called Yesod, the connecting, final connecting link before Malchus. That's Ki kol ba'shamayim uvaretz, all that is on heaven and on earth. That's why the tzaddik is called tzaddik Yesod Olam. You've heard that expression, tzaddik Yesod Olam? Tzaddik Yisod Olam, Yosef was Yosef Tzaddik Yisod Olam. Yisod is the power to connect between heaven and earth, to make that connection, to draw together those two worlds. Yisod is an extremely male, an extremely masculine quality. But then the final kach is Lecha Hashem HaMamlacha. Lecha Hashem HaMamlacha. Mamlacha is Malchus. Right? Lecha Hashem HaMamlacha. So listen to the words of the Maharal. The Maharal says in his third introduction to the Gerus Hashem, for those of you who have the Maharal, the third introduction to the Gerus Hashem. The Maharal writes, She'inyan hanhogas elu. The meaning of these hanhogos, these different ways that Hashem runs the world, there's Gedula, Gevur, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus, Hein klal chilufei hamitzius, V'chilufei ha-kochos shebebriya. They include all the types of hanhaga, all different ways that this world functions. All of them are included in these terms. All of them. Gedula, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus, Mamlocha. All of the possible configurations of existence are included in these terms. Hashem is revealed in a different way, in a Gevurah way, in a Gedula way, in a Teferis way. Everybody knows, of course, that Avram didn't just reveal, Avram was the chariot upon which the quality of Gedula, of Chesed, came to the world. Yitzchak was Gevurah, Yaakov was Teferis, his beauty, and so on. And Hashem is hidden, and in his hidden relationship to this world, he runs the world using these kochos. These are called the chilufei hametzius v'chilufei hakochos, the varying, the different, all possible ways that the world is run. And what's the tachlis of creation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has revealed to us? The tachlis is gilui kvod malchuso, revealing the glory of his kingdom. And how does this take place? Through gilui yichudo yisbarach, by revealing Hashem's oneness. By revealing his oneness. Which means, maybe I once told you that this is one of the chassidim of the Baal HaTanya. Sometimes in order to take a difficult concept and make it simple, it's kedai to preface with a little story. There was one of the chassidim of the Tanya who was very, very wealthy. I forgot his name. He was a famous chassid, a very deep thinker also. He was in the lumber business. And the Baal HaTanya was once watching this fellow. I didn't notice that the Tanya was standing there. The Tanya was behind him, and the fellow had a ledger there where he was writing down all of the accounts, all of his profits from that month. And he was writing, this a very wealthy gevir, and he was writing down all the different numbers from the month. Each day had a different profit, whatever. He's writing down everything. On the bottom, he wrote Sahakol, Samachay, Sahakol, sum total. So the chassid stopped for a second. He didn't see the Rebbe was standing behind the Tanya. So he stopped for a moment, and he closed his eyes. And he leaned over and he wrote on the bottom, Ein od milvado. There is no one besides God. And then he stopped again for a minute or two and he added up the figures and wrote the number. And he would have come to the same conclusion of Ein od milvado, even if the numbers wouldn't have added up in such a good way. Some people come to that conclusion on a good day, but on a bad day, then it's not the conclusion of Ein Od Milvado. But he would come to that conclusion. The Baal HaTanya was very taken aback by that. And he said, look, that a Jew, that's the Sach HaKol of a Jew's life. All the different things that he went through in the month. All the different days, good days, bad days. The Sach HaKol of a Jew's life is Ein Od Milvado. The Sach HaKol, the sum total, always returns to oneness. That's why in the Chabad Svarim we're taught that the word Emunah, I might have taught this once, that Emunah is broken down into two parts. Aleph, Moneh. That means that Moneh means to count. Aleph means oneness. It means God. It means that Emunah is that whatever happens to you, always count back to the Aleph. In other words, you always come to that same conclusion, that same sum total, the same Sach HaKol, Ein Od Milvado. Aleph, Moneh, Emunah. To be Moneh always to the Aleph, to come back to the Aleph. So, when we say, you see, you and I were so restricted by simple, simplistic definitions that you would say that there's one tape recorder on this table, there's one microphone, there's one ceiling in the room. So we begin to think that when we say one God, so it means there's one God, it means that he doesn't have any chaverim. There are no other gods. That's true. But many people live in this world, Jews, religious Jews. Shom Shabbos Jews live till 120 with an understanding that one God means one God and not two gods. Which is true. But that's something we should have gotten past in first grade. So what does it mean, one God? Ein od milvado. When the Baal HaTanya said, when that chassid wrote, Ein Od Milvado, means there's mamish, nothing else. No, there's only God. The definition of Yichud Hashem, in the words of the Ramchal, at the end of Pisrei Chochma Vedas, he writes, Shahamatzil Yisborg Shomay Rotzil Legalos Yichudai, Laharas Kani Rishon Ve'ani Achron. It says in the pasuk, I was first and I am last. Ultimately, we will see how all curses are changed into blessings. And all evil will be restored to goodness. And this is the mystery of the pasuk. Odcha Hashem ki anafta bi. I thank you, Hashem, for tormenting me. Odcha Hashem ki anafta bi. Ikr, he says, Vahu Ikr Emunosum Shel Yisrael. This is the essence of Jewish faith, the Ramchal writes. Ladas Yichud Hamatzil Yisbarach. To know the absolute oneness, the unity of the Creator. What does this mean? That means that when we say Hashem is one, in our eyes right now, when we say Hashem is one, it is not the same as what we're going to mean at the end of time when we say, "Bayom Ahu Hashem Echad Shmo Echad." It says, on that day Hashem will be one and His name will be one. So there's a famous Gemara in Psachim, the Gemara in Daf Mem Tes and Nun, the Gemara in Psachim, "Bayom Ahu Hashem Echad Shmo Echad." The Gemara says, "Bayom Ahu Hashem Echad," on that day, and now He's not one. And His name will be one. And now His name is not one? It's a good question. So the Gemara's answer, do any of you know the Gemara's answer?
I don't know it. We don't know it. Yes,
to the people. No, it's talking about Inzer mention. Us. It's true that the rest of the world will know. You're right. But even for us, you're right. But even for us, there's a different understanding. Even for us. The Gemara says that in this world, when something good happens, we make a blessing. Hatova hametiv. This is good. Hashem does good. This is good. And Hashem does good things and should do good things. And when something, God forbid, bad happens, we make a bracha l'aleinu. Bracha to Hashem, dayin ha'emes. Hashem is the true judge. At the end of time, kula hatova hametiv. Everything will only make one bracha. Hatova hametiv. That all is good. Then the Gemara says, what do you mean Hashem's name will be one? It's not one now, so Hashem's not one. This world, Hashem's name is written Yud Kei Vav Kei. But we're not allowed to read it that way. We read it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. We read it as Adonai. We read it as Adnus, that Hashem is master over the world. So Hashem's name is written one way and pronounced another way. In the end of time, when Mashiach will come, Hashem's name will be written and pronounced the same way. That's the Gemara says. That's a very, very deep Gemara. We're just going to pull out from what we need for this moment. That when we say, "Bayom Ahu Hashem Echad Shmo Echad," "V'Hay Hashem LaMelech Malchus," "V'Hay Hashem LaMelech Al Kol Haaretz," where's that pasuk? You know what the pasuk is? "V'Hay Hashem LaMelech Al Kol Haaretz," say it every day in Aleinu. "V'Hay Hashem LaMelech Al Kol Haaretz," "Bayom Ahu Hashem Echad Shmo Echad." Where's the pasuk from? Who knows? Not from Zechariah. Hashem will be king over the world. At that time, He will be one, and His name will be one. So what does that mean, that He will be one, and His name will be one? So the Gemara is telling us that right now, we look at the world, when something is bad, you could be the biggest tzaddik in the world, and you could say it's really good. It means, Gamzu L'Toyva, it means that I believe that in this thing, there's something good. If I'm very insightful, I could try to find something good in it. Right, so it happens. Sometimes you get lost on the highway, and then you think, "Oh, if I wouldn't have gotten lost, I would have had a problem in that other." Sometimes you could use enough seichel or insight or imagination of how there's something good even in this problem, but that it should be completely, completely revealed to the point that a person can have the one that he loves most or that she loves most in the world die. And to say the bracha tov ha'meitiv completely, completely with a full heart, to say it with the mouth and with a complete heart, that's waiting till the end of time. Because in this world we accept Hashem's judgment. When something bad happens, we make a bracha, die in Hamas. Hashem's the true judge. Listen, I don't understand why this happened. I wish it wouldn't have happened, but I know that you must, I believe that you have a good reason. I don't see the good reason, but I believe that there's a good reason. Yes?
By Kriyas Yam Suf, by the Shira, you just said that it was a glimpse of that vision?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's the glimpse of Zeh Kelev Hanveh. It was a very powerful thing. It was to be uplifted into the world, momentarily into the world of Nevuah. It was very powerful. That's a big discussion. Bechlal, the Gilu of Kriyas Yam Suf was Me'ain, what's going to be at the end of time. More than anything else. Malchus Charo Vanecha. But Kei Yom Lefnei Moshe, Zeh Kelev. All of your armor is Akeli. But you and I, Stam, even though we believe in Hashem's goodness, when something bad happens, it's bad. And we don't wish it on anybody. So in a person's life, in the course of a person's day, the person can go through many, many, many different kinds of events, meet different people, experience different kinds of things in the course of one day. Yichud Hashem means that all the details are swept back into that oneness, where there's with absolute knowledge and clarity that this is all from Hashem, this is all good. This is all good. When the Ramchal says that the tachlis of the Yichud Hashem is that all evil will be transformed into good, all curses into blessings, it means that a human being lives in a way where he sees absolutely everything included in Malchus Hashem. There's nothing outside of Malchus Hashem. It's not just that you say, but really, really batsim in the very depths of the self, which we can't know. If people would, God forbid, have stood up in Auschwitz and said, this is good, this is good, then you know what that would have meant? I mean, that would have meant that, God forbid, people would begin to think that God is twisted or warped, or this some terrible distortion. Instead, we don't say, we say, this is not good. But Hashem is the true judge, and through this not goodness, something good we believe will come from it. That's the best we could say. But to say, this is good, oh, isn't this wonderful that this person is going to the guest chamber? The talk about the shuls is the antithesis of Christianity. Shuls is the rejection of Christianity. Yes, Amy.
If our topic is to reveal Yichud Hashem in the world, how is it possible that we're not able to accomplish this until Lava?
Good. Our tafkid in the world is to make all possible efforts in everything in our lives, like that Jew in the forest there with the Baal Tanya, to somehow come back to that Aleph as much as we can. What the Gemara is telling us is that until the end of time, there'll be something missing in our certainty. There's a little bit of a suffix that's there. That suffix is called a Malek, which we'll talk about in a moment. There's that little tiny bit that sits there that doesn't allow that event in your life or that place or thing or person to come mamush back into Hashem's arms. It remains a little bit outside of the Ribono Shel Olam, kivyoch, a little bit outside. So you're right. The tachlis will not be fully realized until the end. But the tafkid, our role and our job is to push and to move and to yearn in that direction, to go in that direction, to come to that tachlis achas, to that one tachlis, which is revealing Malchus Hashem. And what do you and I go through every day of our lives? We go through things that are chesedic. Times of chesed, times of gvur, times of teferis and hod. I mean, if you don't know what teferis, hod, and netzach and that stuff is, there's no point in me using these words. But one day, Mitzvah Hashem, when everybody understands what those concepts are, hod and netzach and so on, we go through those things every day. Every day. Sometimes good netzach experiences, sometimes negative netzach experiences. Sometimes positive hod experiences, sometimes negative. Gvur, fear, awe, it could be a positive experience when you're in the presence of a tzaddik, a great person, and you feel a sense of distance and awe, that's good. But fear of a friend is not good. And so on. So we go through all these experiences. Any possible experience that you and I go through are included in those L'cha Hashem HaGdula Gvur HaFetaresh HaNes HaHog. And the end of it is called the Shemaros, L'cha Hashem HaMamlocha. Our job in life is to say, L'cha Hashem HaMamlocha. The kingdom is yours. And the meaning of that is for a person to somehow come through, live through all those different experiences, very confusing and opposing experiences, to live through all of that, and using his Bechira, free choice. There is free choice because there's some negative and some positive things. There are good days, there are good things, there's good netzach, bad, and so on. That as much as possible to say, to close our eyes and to say, to be able to, when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and then we say it quietly because in this world it's not complete. On Yom Kippur we're able to say it out loud. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam Ve'ed. Malchuso Li'olam Ve'ed, the Malchus of Hashem. Shema Yisrael is the mystery of the higher unification, and Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso is called Yichud Tato, Yichud, the lower unification. This is something we'll talk about more in the future. the higher unification and the lower unification. Yichud Eloh, Yichud Atator. But Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso means that I am making an effort in my world of Emunah, with my eyes closed, I say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso means that to the extent that I'm capable, to the extent that I'm able to do this, I'm going to try as much as possible to find the connection between all the circumstances of my life and serving the Master of the world, being a subject in His Malchus, in His Kingdom. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam Vo'ed. Here, you know, Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echad, a person sort of leaves the world for a moment and tries and enters into that mysterious world beyond. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso means, no, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso means the descent back into the world. But to believe, to see, to try to understand how all the little tiny opposing forces that make up my life somehow all return to Yichud Hashem, to the oneness of Hashem. All return to Malchus Hashem. In order for that to happen, there's concealment, as I said, and there's confusion. That there should be free choice, and that the Malchus should be Beratzam. We should desire, we should want the Malchus, with Das and with Bechira. Therefore, we can take a look at a statement from Chazal, and with this statement from Chazal, we can move into Gimel. It's an amazing Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Tes. It's an amazing Gemara. There's an old Yiddish song that is connected to this, which I'm not going to sing. The Gemara says over there, "Onsi Hakadosh Baruch Hu La'asa Suda LaTzadikim." At the end of time, Hashem is going to make a great soud, a great meal for the tzaddikim. That's the meal of the levyasim, of the fish. At the end of time, Hashem is going to make a soud of the tzaddikim. Now, this is referred to as the reward of the tzaddikim. This is the reward of the tzaddikim. So, obviously, it's a very deep thing. The subject of levyasim is very, very deep. It's more for sukkahs to talk about. Sukkahs is levyasim. At the end of time, Hashem is going to make a suda, is going to make a meal, a great festive meal, a feast for the tzaddikim. La'achis o'echlin v'shoysim noisnim lo'y la'avrom avinu kaisel bracha levarach. After the meal has been concluded, will be concluded, so the Baruch Shalom, the Master of the World, is going to give Avrom avinu the kaisel bracha, the cup of the wine, to make the bench, to lead the benching. V'aymer lahem, and Avrom avinu is going to say, this is mamash going to happen soon. We're going to see this soon. That Avraham Avinu is going to say, "Eini mevarach." I'm sorry, I'm not going to lead the benching. I can't lead the benching. I can't lead the benching. Sheyotzim imeni Yishmael, because I had a son Yishmael, Machkenish. I can't lead the benching because I had a child Yishmael. He turns to his son Yitzchak and he says, "Tolu varach, you take the cup." He hands over the cup to Yitzchak and says, "You bench." He hands over the cup to Yitzchak Avinu and says, "You bench." I'm Elohim Yitzchak Avinu is going to say, "Eini mevarach sheyotzim imeni Esav. I can't lead the benching. I had a child Esav." So Yitzchak gives the cup over to his son, to Yaakov Avinu, and says, "Tolu varach, take the cup and you bench. You lead the brachas, the benching." I'm Elohim. I can't. So everybody's holding their breaths. His children are all tzaddikim. So Yaakov says, "I can't." So why? So Yaakov says, I married two women, two sisters while they were still alive. Two sisters during their own lifetimes. I can't. Finally, the cup is handed over to David and Malchus, other people. Finally, the end, I'm not going to go through the whole Gemara, you can look at it. Finally, the cup is handed over to David and Malchus, Mashiach, to David and Malach, to bench. And David and Malach says, "I'm Elohen." What do you think he says? "Ani avarech. I'm going to lead the benching. Veli noel avarech. Kuntzemir. It befits me to lead the benching." That's the Gemara. It's an amazing Gemara. I'm going to lead the benching. Let's see. Let's try to understand. Let's understand. David was...
The Gemara analyzed it?
No, the Gemara doesn't analyze it. I told you once that they say from Absolvation, say Salaf Racha, that he once said over something in Shir, some astounding concept in Shir, in the Gemara Shir. And in every shiur, there were a lot of visitors, Talmid Chacham, people from all over. I mean, I used to be there. And there was this big Rosh Hashiva that was there, and after, and Rav Soloveitchik said, said this amazing shiur, and after the shiur, so this Rosh Hashiva went over and asked Rav Soloveitchik, he says, Rabbi, what's the source of the Chiddush? What was your source? So Rav Soloveitchik said, a clear, logical mind. That was the source. A clear, logical mind. So sometimes when it's not explained, we have to try to understand. David HaMelech leads benching at the end of time. And he says, "Veli noel avarach." He doesn't ashamed. You know, he's the most humble human being in the world. You don't meet up with David HaMelech and tell him. Does he sound to you like he has problems with his ego?
Sounds like he had problems physically.
But does it sound like he had problems with David HaMelech with his? It sounds like we're talking about a person who was so exceedingly humble.
When you look. Like
that's right. That's the malchus of David HaMelech. That's true. But we spoke about that. We spoke about that last week a little bit. Veli noel avarach, huh? Ani tefila. Ah, that's the beginning. That's the Pesach. That's the opening. See, Avraham Avinu says, "I can't bench. I had a Yishmael. Chkenish." Yitzchak says, "Chkenish. I had an Esav." Yaakov Avinu says, "I also have some problem of dualism in my life." In other words, there's also a separation. There's also confusion. Two sisters. You understand? A person has to see a Gemara like that and to look with good eyes at such a Gemara. We're not just talking about Stam two sisters, because there are halachic ways to explain how he did that. Yaakov Avinu, everybody knows that. Yaakov Avinu is not Stam a person. Two sisters means Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah means Yehuda and Yosef. Leah and Rachel means Yehuda and Yosef. That means two complete opposite worlds. That's not for our discussion now. What it means, Leah and Rachel, what means the world of Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, Yehuda and Yosef, why the brothers were split. All splitting, all separation, all apparent dualism and multiplicity. All of our confusion between Tov and Ra comes from the disagreement between Rachel and Leah, or the children of Rachel and Leah. But the fact that Yaakov Avinu married those two women, the world of Rachel and the world of Leah, this is one of the biggest subjects in Torah. It's a whole section in the writings of the Ari HaKadosh. It's a whole section. A whole section in the writings of Shai Rochel Valeya. There's a whole section in the Kisveri, Shai Rochel Valeya, which in the past I've spoken about, I mean, hundreds of times. For those that have, you know, come to Shirim over the years in different times, it's a... So, Yaakov Avinu says, I can't because there's a Rochel Valeya. I myself have two names, Yaakov and Yisrael. Yaakov means the heel, it means suffering, it means misery, it means concealment. Yisrael comes from the two words, Li Rosh, the mind, which means closeness and clarity. So each one is saying, I can't because I haven't ultimately resolved the issue of Yichud Hashem. So therefore I cannot lead the benching, which means to say after all of history, after all 5,755 years, to be able to say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam HaToyv HaMeitiv. So David HaMelech takes the cup and says, it's mine. Because I'm Malchus. Malchus means Yichud Hashem. Malchus means V'hai Hashem L'melech HaKol Haaretz. Malchus means that everything returns to oneness. Every single thing. And what Lima said is right. The fact that David HaMelech, as we spoke about last week, every single second of his life, the whole Indian of David HaMelech was, no matter what, every second. It could be a Yishmoldik a second, it could be a Yitzchadik a second. It's all from the Baruch Shalom. You see, Avram still saw two worlds. The world of Yishmol, the world of Yitzchak. I can't bench, I had a Yishmol. I can't. In other words, something is excluded from godliness. Yishmol is excluded from godliness, therefore I can't make the bracha to God. Yisro cannot make the bracha because Esav is excluded somehow from godliness. I had an Esav. But by David, that's not the point whether it's his fault. This, we're not talking about blame. It has nothing to do with blame. David HaMelech was able to say, I had tzaros. David HaMelech had more tzaros than them. More tzaros. David HaMelech had more tzaros. Avshalom b'ni, Avshalom, Avshalom b'ni. David HaMelech had more tzaros. Physically, spiritually, David HaMelech had terrible tzaros. From the time that he was a child. When Shmuel HaNavi came to the house looking for the king, so he wasn't even brought in to be among those who were the candidates. And when Shmuel HaNavi saw that the oil is not going on the head of any of the other sons who were great tzaddikim, so he asked, do you have any others? So he said, oh, share a cotton. Nah, I have one. The younger one, he's, it's not him. It's not him. Couldn't be him. He says in Tehillim, Ki ovi v'imi azavuni v'Hashem yasveini. My parents have abandoned me. What do you think it means? When David HaMelech said Hashem has abandoned me, you think that David HaMelech was literally abandoned by his parents? He's not. He's followed as Yishai. He wasn't abandoned by his parents. He was excluded somehow. In a very subtle way. That we long ago have done to our children. Without ever, I don't mean God forbid, intentionally. But don't think that we're better than Yishai. But David HaMelech, after all that he's gone through, can say, Li Noel Levarach, because you know that in my life, I was Melech. And a Melech is called, the Melech is called, in Tanakh, Echad Ha'am. Not to be confused with the famous author who rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Echad Ha'am. Echad Ha'am. What does that mean, Echad Ha'am? In the morale's language, in the morale's terminology, the king is called Tzura Sa'am, the spiritual form and image of the people, of a nation. Everybody was so upset when Clinton was discovered to be a little bit of a womanizer, as you recall, when he was running. The whole country was so upset about it that they were so upset that they couldn't enjoy all their pornography and schmutz because they were so upset about how the President of the United States is a womanizer. It bothered them that it was disturbing their affairs and their schmutz. They felt that... Why? We don't have to repeat this. Let's leave this. But I'm making a point. I must stop saying something. I'm making a point. You'll excuse me for sounding a bit crude, but I want to make a point. A king is a reflection. A king is the sum total of the people. Finished. If we have a president like that here in America, it's a sermon that it's a past for America. In other words, by all accounts, he's a friendly fellow. He's a nice man, and I've heard from a couple of big rabbanim that even before he became president, he would mamish a kind of to do a taiva, to do a favor. He's a good guy. But the American people, but they're a klal. If you go outside New York City, you see it more. New York City is very hard to see, but I haven't really been too far past New Jersey, truthfully. But my parents have been around the country, and they've told me that Americans are almost the friendliest people in the world. Friendly people. There's a friendliness, there's a warmth that you don't have. If you would, in America, you can go someplace, Wyoming, smack in the back. You try doing that in London, right? They'll take you to the police station. I'm just saying hello. They'll take you to the police station. American people are friendly. Friendly. And that's reflected. But the decadence, the immorality is also reflected. Achad ha'am, or the tzura sa'am means, the morale's lashon, tzura sa'am. The king somehow, the role of the king, the role of the leader, is yichud. Yichud means to bring all the subjects, all the details back into the... It means the prat which returns to the klal. Klalu pratu klal, that all the details come back, like the stones gathering under the head of Yaakov Avinu. All the pratim, all the details, gdula, gvur, tiferes, netzach, all of it comes back under the king, because the king is the leader, the melech, whose job it is to orchestrate all the different hanhagos, the different circumstances, the different personalities, the different visions and feelings and the different nationalities and races and religions and so on. The job of the king, in the words of the, listen to the Lashon of the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of appointing a king. So the Rambam says over there, Mitzvah 173 of the Positive Commandments, the Rambam says, Hu shetziva limnos aleinu melech. Hashem has commanded us to appoint a king. And what is the job of the king? Yikabetz kol umaseinu v'yanhigenu. What does that mean? Yikabetz kol umaseinu. To gather our entire nation, v'yanhigenu, and to direct and to control. That's already hinted in the Torah. It says in the Pasuk. Vayhi b'shur in melech. Bis Asif Roshay Am Yachad Shivte Yisrael. Vayihi b'yishurun melech. And there will be within the Jewish people a melech. B'saseif roshei am. He will join together the leaders, meaning he will join together all the people. Yachad shivtei Yisrael. Yachad shivtei Yisrael. That's the job of the king. Yachad shivtei Yisrael. The king takes many and makes them to one. Therefore, the king in his personality, the king in his life, is going to be a reflection of the diversified kochos, of the diversified personalities and so on that are existing in his kingdom. This will all be reflected in the king. The king's job is to somehow take all the diversified kochos and to direct them in a positive, constructive, good way. That's the job of a king. That's why he's called Achad Ha'am. To take the Am and to give it a sense of Achdus. Why are people so preoccupied? Why are people so preoccupied with Malchus? Look, in England, it's already Oiskespiel, but I remember when they were married, what was going on with the marriage? Oh, with the Chasana, the big Chasana. They were busing him all over the mountains, I remember. That in my bungalow county we were there, there was one couple that had a television there, and they were coming from the bungalows from all around. They were standing outside that bungalow watching the chasana. And you wouldn't go a day where you wouldn't read the newspaper how happy they are, and how happy, until they became unhappy. And then every day you read how unhappy they are. And the whole world is so possessed by Malchus when you see a Melech. And the Gemara says that you should run after a king. Yeah, it's a chashuv thing. Because Malchusa de Ara ain Malchusa de Rekia. The Malchus in this world is a reflection somehow. It could be in a distorted, horrible way. Joseph Stalin, Fech, Adolf Hitler, Yamach Shemam. But there is, in Adolf Hitler, may his name be erased. In that person, he did join together the unified longing of the German people, which was to destroy Klal Yisrael. And he was a capable, talented manifestation of Germany, of the one singular purpose of Germany, which is Amalek, which is the destruction of Knesset Yisrael. So there's also a vision. In the personality of him, you also saw something. You saw the evil side, but you saw Malchus. Malchus. There's a story also from Tanya. I'm sure I've told you before. You know, there's Chevra, another Chevra, but I've told him many times. That there are many stories when the Baal Tanya was in prison. Baal Tanya was put into jail. He was accused of... There were accusations that he was trying to start a rebellion against the Tsar. Because he used to send millions of rubles to Eretz Yisrael. Baal Tanya was in charge of the stock of Rabbi Meir Balanes. He used to send... So they were the Misnagdim basically made a presentation. One of the rabbis, Rabbi Victor from Pinsk, made an accusation that the Hasidim in Russia are quietly planning a rebellion, and they're sending money to Eretz Yisrael and so on. But about time he was in jail, there are many stories about that time that he was in jail. He was released on Yutes Kislev, as it's known, which is a Yontif for Chabad Hasidim and Bechlal Hasidus. One of the things that's told by all the Chassidim, it's a famous story, though, we'll end with this story tonight, that when the Baal Tanya was in jail, after a short time, the people that were working there, the warden and the jailkeeper, they were completely overwhelmed by his greatness, by his holiness, and they allowed them to bring him towels and tefillin and kosher food. They were very frightened by him, the guy. And they used to ask him questions and whatever, but they couldn't let him go by orders of the Tsar. So word had reached the Tsar that this rabbi is a very holy person and something exceptional, to the point that the Tsar himself wanted to meet him. So the Tsar came there, and they said, they were telling him that he never met anybody like this rabbi. So he put on clothing like he was another guy, that was like a new guy that was going to just work in the jail. He put on some clothing like a regular jailkeeper. And he came there, and he had the keys, and he opened up the Baal Tanya. He was sitting in the dungeon, and he was sitting there wearing his towels and tefillin. So the Tsar knew something about Judaism. He says, "Why are you wearing those? It's not the morning." Because there was no window there, and the Baal Tanya was there for months. So the Baal Tanya told him, whatever, it's 6:32 in the morning.
Was he?
Yeah, he told him the exact time. So he was very taken aback. He says, "How do you know that?" So he said, "That's the time by the movements of the higher in the higher world." So he was very impressed right away. And when he asked him, why are you standing? So he says, it only befits that I should stand in the presence of the Tsar. Now, you know, in those days, they didn't have magazines and pictures, you understand. So the Tsar says, you know, you could be executed for saying such a thing. I'm just a guard in the prison. So he's saying, I don't mean to disagree with your Royal Majesty, but it's known to me that you're the Tsar. So he asked him, how do you know that? So he said, because in the Zohar we're taught, and Chazal teach us, that every kingdom on earth is a reflection of the kingdom above. And when you walked in, I felt that reflection of the higher kingdom. So I know it to the Tsar. So he was very impressed by that. It's okay. And he left. It was a short time later that he was able to be removed. When they came to take him out from the prison cell, it wasn't like now they didn't understand those prisons. There's a famous place in St. Petersburg. They had these doors, you know, stone, thick doors. When they came there to, the whole group of guards and the warden to respectfully release the Baal Tanya, as they were approaching, the Baal Tanya opened the door. He just opened the door like this. That's all. He said, now it's time for me to go. Until now, it wasn't time for me to go. But when it's time for me to go, God opens doors, not you. That's what he said. The Baal Tanya saw that on the Tsar, Me'ein Malchusa Derekia, a vision of the kingdom. Now, that's because of what we learned. That Echad Ha'am means all that is diversified and separate becomes unified and reflected in the personality of the king. Now, we'll talk about Imid Hashem next week. To understand this, of course, on a much deeper level, and to slowly work our way towards David HaMelech and Tefillah and Davening. Once we know what Malchus is, then we could come to Ani Tefillah. If we understand what David HaMelech means, then we can understand what Tefillah, what Davening is, because David HaMelech is the world of Tefillah. Hashakayah.